Why not sail the ring to Mordor? It's a similar idea to the classic why not fly the eagles to Mordor suggestion, so is this a plot hole that Tolkien didn't think of? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we dive deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. So here's the idea. The Fellowship left Rivendell on foot and headed southeast, without, it has to be said, much of an agreed plan. They knew they would have to cross the line of the Misty Mountains at some point, but were still discussing how and when as they travelled. When Plan A, crossing via the Redhorn Pass, didn't work, they then had several robust discussions about whether to go under the mountains via Moria or head further south and go via the Gap of Rohan. Taking a step back, each way seemed dangerous. Crossing a mountainous pass in January is rarely a good idea. Going via Moria had its dangers. They might not have known they would encounter the Balrog there, but there were definitely lots of orcs, and Aragorn had a bad feeling about it. And via the Gap of Rohan meant straying very close to Saruman, something Gandalf was keen to avoid. So why not go another way? By sea, for example. I've seen this idea pop up a few times now on Reddit and elsewhere, so I thought it worth breaking down the reasons, because there are reasons. The idea would be to head overland, west or south, to the coast, then catch a ship east to the mouth of the Anduin, then sail north up that river to a dropping-off point just outside Mordor. The advantage is, of course, to miss out on all the difficulties the Fellowship faced in the story that we read. Not just the ones we've already mentioned, but Sauron and Saruman's orcs hunting for the ring, the ringwraiths, Easterlings if they'd strayed too far that way, the dead marshes, and so on. Would the sea not be easier? Well, if we assume that they get this idea at Rivendell rather than somewhere even more inaccessible en route like Lothlorien, then of course the first question is how to get to the coast in the first place. There are two main options here, south or west. South would mean reaching the coast somewhere around the mouth of the River Greyflood. Much further east of that and you would be heading towards the River Isen and the territory dominated by the Dunlendings and therefore Saruman. Further west would be basically back the way the hobbits had already come. Of course, the second real option is properly west, to Círdan and the Grey Havens. Which brings us to our first issue with this idea. As the crow flies, both overland journeys to reach the coast are only slightly shorter than the overland journey southeast to Mordor, and they're going in the wrong direction. Once you factor in time to find a boat and crew and do the actual sailing, you're probably not talking about much of a time saving, if any. So this isn't about getting there faster, it's about trying to get there safer. Which brings us to our second point. Those two journeys to the coast would have their dangers too. You might be able to paddle some of the way south along the Loudwater and the Greyflood, but as Boromir explained when describing his journey some of the way on the same path northwards, it was a long and wearisome journey. 400 leagues, I reckoned it, and it took me many months, for I lost my horse at Tharbad at the fording of the Greyflood. Tharbad is a ruined city, bridge and ford over the River Greyflood. The fact that Boromir lost his horse there shows it's not an easy crossing, and enemies would be close at hand all the way south, as Elrond explains at his council. The shadow has crept now to the feet of the mountains and draws nigh even to the borders of the Greyflood. Regiments of black crows are flying all over the land between the mountains and the Greyflood, and they have passed over Holin. Holin is Eregion, so Sauron's spies are flying all the way up to maybe even the borders of the Shire. The Fellowship avoided them briefly while in the brush-covered and rocky foothills of the Misty Mountains, but heading south through the Enedwaith would mean hundreds of miles through what Tolkien describes as open plains. So we're talking about a long and arduous journey through open country with no allies and enemy spy birds looking out for them from above. Not exactly a straightforward route to the sea. And as for the western route to Círdan, the Council of Elrond did consider that. Not to try to get a ship around the coast of Middle-earth, but to try to destroy the ring by throwing it into the sea. I did a whole other video on that, if you're interested. The conclusion there was, per Galdor, who had been that way recently, if the return to Eärwine, that's Tom Bombadil, be thought too dangerous, then flight to the sea is now fraught with gravest peril. My heart tells me that Sauron will expect us to take the Western Way when he learns what has befallen. He soon will. The Nine have been unhorsed indeed, but that is but a respite ere they find new steeds and swifter. So far from a journey to the coast avoiding danger, it would actually be fraught with peril. In other words, whichever way they went to get to the coast, they might be avoiding some dangers by not going the route the Fellowship took, but they would definitely be facing new dangers. And let's not underplay the secrecy thing here. At no point in the books after Frodo left Rivendell did Sauron know exactly where the Fellowship as a whole or the Ring were. The plan worked. They did manage to stay secret. It seems very, very unlikely that would be the case if they'd headed for the coast, given how many spies we are repeatedly told Sauron has looking for them there. But let's assume that they do make it safely to the coast. Then they have the problem of finding an appropriate seagoing vessel and crew. That wouldn't be a problem in the Grey Havens, of course, but on the coast of Eriador or Enidwaith, that part of the world had been largely uninhabited for over a century since the fell winter of 2911. Perhaps there were some small fishing communities, but the cities of Tharbad and Londeir were long abandoned and gone to ruin. Those left were probably Dunlending, so not natural allies, and at worst, under Saruman's control. But let's again assume that they did manage to get a ship and crew and avoided enemy spies and traps and set sail south and east around the coast. What might they expect? The Corsairs of Umber, that's what. As part of Sauron's preparations for war, he had sent the Corsairs out to harry the coast of Gondor. We read of a great fleet that first attacked Lebanon, south of Pelargir, then was due to sail up the Anduin to join with Sauron's forces at the Pelennor Fields. So great was the threat of this fleet that when Minas Tirith called the banners to defend the city, many communities along that stretch of Gondor's coast sent only a tenth of what was expected, or no one at all. The Corsairs were a formidable foe with a large and dangerous navy. And although I'm sure Gandalf is pretty decent as a makeshift sea mage, and Legolas's bowmanship would be useful, Gimli, Boromir and Aragorn would be less so in naval battles. The Fellowship would hardly be playing to its strengths. And even if they made it past that challenge and sailed up the Anduin to Mordor, that last stage of the journey would probably be the most dangerous. Sailing into a war zone up the Anduin River in a large boat is not exactly the sneaky approach the Fellowship had in mind. They would be seen from miles away, by both Sauron's forces and Denethor's, because yes, Denethor would be trying to get his hands on the ring too, you can be sure of that. And after all of that, you are still outside Mordor with no clear idea of how to get in. Also, as much as we've been talking about avoiding risks, going by sea also meant avoiding help. I've talked in another video about how important Galadriel's gifts were to the Fellowship, and particularly Frodo and Sam in those last few days. If they went by sea, they wouldn't get those gifts, and they wouldn't enlist those other allies they gained en route. Gandalf wouldn't have been able to free Theoden from Grima and Saruman's control. Merry and Pippin wouldn't have been able to rally Treebeard and the Ents. Aragorn wouldn't be able to rouse and lead the army of the dead. They would have arrived outside Mordor with no allies and less hope. So, although taking a boat to Mordor may sound like a good idea on paper, it actually amounted to swapping one set of risks for another, sailing deliberately into where they knew danger was, rather than the eastward path where they still hoped to be able to avoid it. It probably wouldn't have saved much, if any, time, and would have greatly increased their chances of being spotted. Crucially, it would also have meant no Ents to destroy Isengard, Rohan falling, no aid coming for Gondor, Saruman's forces rampant in the west, and Sauron's probably easily overtaking Minas Tirith. Sauron would not have moved all his forces out from around Orodruin to face Aragorn without having seen him and Pippin through that Orthanc stone, and Frodo and Sam and whoever else was with them would be faced with a fully defended Mordor without even that light from Galadriel to aid them in dark places when all other lights go out. It would be a forlorn hope. Taking a ship around the coast to Mordor is a nice idea. But the Council of Elrond were right not to ever really consider it. The journey they took overland was dark and dangerous. but also filled with specks of light, even in the darkest moments. If you'd like to see more videos like this, digging into Tolkien's wonderful legendarium, there's a link to my playlist on the left of your screen now. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.